People with intellectual disabilities suffer from depression and mental health problems as the same as anyone else in the population. But there would be evidence to suggest, particularly people with a mild learning disability, do suffer from, you know, maybe somewhat higher rates of depression. And I suppose partly that could be due to the fact that they have a level of intelligence. They recognise that they're not quite the same as everyone else, and have the understanding to see that, and particularly find it hard as they get into their teens and 20s when they see their brothers and sisters and siblings moving on, getting jobs, getting married, having girlfriends, having boyfriends. And I think for many of them that can be very difficult. And then the other problem is their access to mental health services is very restricted, that it might not be recognised as depression. And as a result, the depression gets worse, or might be said, oh, it's just part of the condition. A lot of people with learning disabilities suffer depression with a bereavement. I think that we need to have certainly better mental health services and be aware that people, not only do they have a learning disability, which, you know, is difficult and can cause problems, but to recognise and to be aware that people can also suffer from depression and that this can be treated, like with any. And if you don't treat it, of course, it gets worse. Then you have maybe instances of challenging behaviour, bad behaviour, and then you get a cycle of the person maybe ending up in a psychiatric hospital because nobody knows how to deal with it, and that really, it has happened in the past. So I think people should be vigilant about, you know, around issues like that.
Now, I suppose a lot of people will be thinking about the Dunn case and maybe wondering, well, if they had more support, would things have got so bad?
Well, there is a growing, I suppose, phenomenon now. We would be aware of, we deal with mainly with people with intellectual disability, a learning disability, but we would have a number of people with mild learning disability, a number of young women who may have children, who may be single parents, and many of those would like to keep their children and would have certain capabilities and would be very loving and good parents. But they do need support. They do need help. And what's happening for a number of these young women we're finding is that when things break down or when they can't manage, the answer seems to be that the children are taken into care, because obviously the authorities have a concern about risks to the children and a duty to care for the children. But we find there is very little duty to care for the person with the disability. The Child Care Act does obviously put an onus on the authorities if they feel a child is at risk to remove a child. But we would argue that sometimes that there hasn't been enough effort put in to support the family or to support the person. And sometimes these supports need not be that expensive or need not be that radical, but they do need to be there. And the alternative to maybe remove a child to foster care or to push a child in care till they're 18 does have, you know, serious implications for both the mothers and the children. Of course, the welfare of the child must always be the priority, but we would think that in many cases there could be innovative ways of supporting people to be parents and to be better parents.
Mm. And yet, of course, the Dunn case will have raised the idea of, well, you know, are children at risk? You know, if parents aren't getting the support and they are trying to rear these children, is there going to be a risk for the children?
Well, that is obviously a very real concern and real worry, and there has to be a really good assessment done. But the assessment must also look at what type of supports could be put into this family to help them, rather than just let's take the children out and that's it. Because I think, you know, that's very, very important, that many people are capable of being good parents, but they don't get the supports and people don't seem to ask that. And unfortunately, you know, putting a child into a life of foster care isn't always, the research has shown, it doesn't lead to, you know, often a happy life for those children when they leave foster care. And, you know, people have said, oh, well, we're going to put them in this foster home and they'll be with this foster parent for life, surrogate parents. But my experience is that sometimes children could be moved around to 4 or 5 foster homes, and that also isn't an ideal situation. So our first was, obviously, if there's a real risk, if there's a danger to a child, then the child must be removed. But there has to be, you know, every attempt to support the family and to make sure, with sometimes very minimal supports or just explaining things to people, seeing that somebody showing people how to do things. People with learning disability will learn once they're shown, but if they're not shown, they won't learn.
What kind of sports could be put in? Because again, you're dealing with people who may want to work 9 to 5, and you know, it might be difficult to have somebody who's available on a Saturday afternoon and on a weekend or something.
There are now a lot of services are developing home supports where people will go into someone's home at a weekend, at an evening. Now, this is for families who have a child with a learning disability, who find the weekends and the evenings very difficult because the child could be at a centre, you know, 9 to 4, but then you have the long evenings, summer evenings, and you have the weekends, which can be very, very long for people if they have no support. And there are some innovative ideas going around where people will go into the home, take people out, go shopping. And I don't see why that cannot be done, or that mentality can't be spread to other areas.
So you would stand still quite strongly behind the idea that people, you know, who have some kind of intellectual disability or you know, visual disability, as in the Dunn case, that they should be given support. I mean, despite what happened, that, you know, that's maybe a one-off case, and that in general it's not speaking for the population at large.
It's a very tragic case, and of course it raises a lot of questions. But I think that, and I'm not saying that in this case, maybe if some exit happened, why wouldn't have happened? And I, you know, we don't know the details of that. But from my experience of dealing with people with learning disability, if they get the supports and if they're shown and if they get proper help, you'd be amazed what they can do. And people should have the right to be able to live to the best of their potential. I'm not saying that everyone's going to be, you know, a neurosurgeon, but they have potential, and often that potential is left untapped.